Some of this footage that you're about to see is clearly inappropriate for young viewers. Please ask your children to leave the room. And I'm serious. You really don't want your kids watching this.
Here we go! Friday night. It is time for the Rogue Show. First and foremost, big shout out to my great sponsors, Clock Tower Pub, Big T's Nightclub, Ink Tank Tattoo, Jax Media, MMAMadhouse.com, Go Fight Live TV, Revolver MMA, and I think I missed somebody, but that's all right. I love you guys all. I believe we're going to start the show off with the man himself, Chris Gregory. How you there, brother?
I guess not.
So, we'll try this one. Is this Jason?
This is Jason Ellis.
What's up, buddy?
Whoever's What's up, brother? How are you?
Just push one whenever you're ready, whoever's at 661. Man, not bad, not bad. It's a beautiful night here in Oregon. I thought I had Chris Gregory. I can't ever tell, man. That dude calls from 50 different numbers. But tonight I was kicking back with a great sponsor, Big T's. Bethany down at Big T's tonight. Give a big shout-out to Big T's Gentlemen's Nightclub tomorrow night. Prophets of Addiction will be live on the stage there. Check it out. It's going to be members of Pretty Boy Floyd and L.A. Guns, hair bands all night long. Okay, now I got that out of the way. Jason, how you doing, brother?
Good, man. You know, just kind of taking it easy, relaxing, trying to recharge the batteries through the weekend before, the new week kicks off, man. It's been a very productive and busy week.
Well, I know you've been hustling. I know your clients are fighting everywhere. Lots of crazy stuff going on lately. Man,
let me give a quick little shout out to AJ Hitler and his wife, MMA Signatures. I definitely appreciate the support, them coming on with Lauren Murphy today, on her upcoming debut at UFC Fight Night against Sarah McMahon August 16th.
Let's talk about a fight that's happening before then. United MMA client.
MMA United.
See, you could have kept it what it was before. I finally got that thing down to a science, but it's all right. Amanda Lady Killer Bell throwing down, boom, boom, against Schaefer Chaos at the Casino
Chaos
5.
Chaos in the Cage 5, I think it is.
I thought it was Chaos in the Casino 5.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, either way, I want to give a big shout-out not only to Madhouse-sponsored Amanda Bell, but I also want to give a big shout-out to my boy Jonathan King. Clinch Report will be commentating. You guys don't miss that guy. This event, I don't know if it's going to be streamed live or if it's going to be put up post, but Chaos at the Casino 5, man, it's going down on August 10th, Sunday. Fights are going to start at 6. If you need tickets, you can hit 818-484-5555 or 323-243-7777-60-125 VIP tables. Get out there. Support these girls. Marina Schaefer, Amanda Bell. Oh, I'm ready. Lights Out Promotion, August 10th.
It's definitely going to be a very entertaining fight, and I think a lot of people in the WMMA community will be following that fight that night very closely, you know?
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a question? You're from Florida. You know
Shoot.
The Florida scene. Okay. I heard rumor that this event that just went on like 2 weeks ago, last weekend, they threw an event down in Wesley Chapel. When they got the event set up, the facility threw them out, so they did it in the parking lot and only had 4 fights. Do you know anything about that?
I don't, because I don't follow amateur MMA, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I know. I was just curious, man. That sounds like some gangster shit.
I know. I also know that there was something that happened a week prior. Because a friend of mine that's a coach at the Gracie Baja Kissimmee, they went over to fight only to be told the facility didn't pass fire code, so they canceled the event and rescheduled it for the following weekend. And from what I heard, a rival promotion in the town, basically kind of called fire code on them to make their life a little difficult. You know, I don't know how much truth is to the situation. Just that's just what I heard. And this very well be that Weston Chapel event that only had 4 fights the next weekend in the plaza, because here it is a week later, and I do know that they went back and fought the following weekend. So I don't know. They had to have more than 4 fights. I mean, how else are they going to get sanctioned?
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's where my curiosity came into, is how do you pull off an event with only 4 fights? I know here, I believe you have to have 27 rounds on paper. That's just, I can't guarantee that, but I believe that's the number, is 27 rounds on paper, which is 9 fights, basically, or, you know, 7 with title fights. So, I'm not sure. I found that kind of crazy that only 4 fights went on.
No, I mean, if it did, I wouldn't be surprised. I've seen stranger things happen. I mean, it seems like they're starting to clean it up. I mean, but at one point, there was like 15 different sanctioning bodies that I saw that Tom Malloy had approved, or whatever, you know, the old commissioner. And I heard they're starting to snap some of them up, and, you know, it just didn't make no sense to me. You know, to me, it's just like, what, because I want to be a sanctioning body, I can pay the fee and you're going to give it to me? You know, any jerk off can get one? You know, it's just not cool, man. You know? I think it's bad for the sport when people try to do things like that.
I agree. And some good for the sport, guys. Saul Madrid Vasquez, a buddy of ours over at Somnia MMA, he dropped a great article, guys. You should check this out. Fighters, managers, coaches reveal their tips to land great sponsorships. And he went and got 25 pro fighters, coaches, and I mean some legitimate great people. Obviously, Roxanne, the Happy War, Mataferi, you know, they talked to her. They also talked to Prindle. They talked to Monalu, El Huracan, Hernandez. You guys know that he is Liz's coach, the Gorilla Carmouche. They also talked to, like,
Hey, did you see that picture that Manny posted on his wall? What they think goes on in San Diego Combat, like one half is a picture of 2 women and like literally like a girl picked up, like her back against the wall and then like straddling the other girl standing and making out. He's like, they think this is going on, but this is what's really going on. And the other half is Liz rear naked choking somebody.
No, I didn't see that. I'm going to have to go check that out. But
dude,
I want to talk.
That shit just started laughing my ass off when I was like, that was Manny doing, man. I love him. He's a good guy, man. You know, once upon a time, he welcomed Amanda Bell into the gym for a brief point. When Liz was fighting Ronda, Amanda went down there for a few weeks, and, you know, they extended the open arm and treated her like family, you know? Good people, man.
Really good people. I've had both those pre-mentioned folks on our show, on Sunday's show out of L.A. You know, really good people. And well, I do want to wrap up this thing on the sponsorships. Charmaine Tweets got a great piece in there, folks. You guys should definitely check that out. Also, Abby Frazier dropped a great little piece on female heavyweight fighters and their struggles to find fights. So check it out. Let's see who this is at 661. Hey, who do we got? Hello? 661.
This is Jay Pegolaro. Welcome to the Rogue Show.
This is your mom.
Oh,
that's
Jeff. Hey, everybody. Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards has joined us, the number one mouth guard in the country. And the next 5 people who buy 10 custom mouth guards will get one free, right?
Yeah, they get a blowjob from you.
No.
What? You did it last week?
Listen, Kane.
Shut that taste out of your mouth by now, haven't you?
Listen, Kane. Do we have to go down this road?
Hey, Jeff, on a serious note, though, before we get into the foolishness and the fuckery tonight, I do need to talk to you tomorrow about a couple of athletes. So what time is a good time for me to get up with you tomorrow?
Anytime. Anytime.
Okay.
Oh, my, that mother-
anytime before 6 Pacific time. I got a referee tomorrow night.
Okay.
Hey, where are you refereeing?
What's it called? It's called, I should forget the name of it. It's in Kent. It's called something, something fights.
Act. Cage
no.
Wars.
It's called United Show of Force. United Show of Force.
Who's putting that on?
United FC.
Oh.
It's a gym in Kent.
Is it on a res or is it
a training facility show? What's that?
Is it on a res?
No. So no knife fights, none of that.
So this is a legit event.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's small. It's a training facility fight, so it's in their gym, but they still have to get a license and follow rules. So they're legit fights. They're tough guys. So see what happens.
It sounds like a glorified smoker to me.
It's not glorified. It is a smoker.
Well, if you got a sanctioned body in there, that's what makes it glorified.
No sanctioning body. No sanctioning body. I'm there just as a referee for this one. They didn't get it. It's not sanctioned. They got it.
Oh,
in Washington, you can get it sanctioning, or you can get a training facility license. What?
Oh, shit. Check it out. Breaking news, folks. Aspen Ladd beats Roma at Tough Enough. And she missed weight, and she got the title.
Whoa. Beat her? Damn.
She missed weight, but she still got the title?
How's that work?
That doesn't make no sense.
Hold on
You're
a second.
You're the 135-pound champion, kind of, if you would have weighed 135 pounds.
Well, that's amateur MMA for you.
She's probably the 138-pound champion. Whatever it was. Can't believe she beat
like
Roma.
Like I said, that's amateur MMA for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Dude, hey, first off, whether she missed weight or not, we said it the other night on the show, on Wednesday's show on MMA Madhouse Live, cheap plug. Straight up, this was a tough test. Look, I know Aspen Ladd had a war and lost up at West Coast Fighting Championships against a girl who's now gone on to be pro and has already won her first pro fight in a devastating fashion. Aspen Ladd's the real deal. She's still young. She's still learning the sport. But, I mean, this was a tough test. And you know, congrats to her for winning. I don't believe she should have been given the title if she missed weight. But I'd like to see how the fight went. I don't know if it was a decision. I don't know anything more than somebody just sent me that. Aspen Ladd won. Hey, if anybody out there knows exactly how she won, text it to us, tweet it to us, email it, call in, whatever you think is the best way to...
Put it in Skippy's box.
Hey, speaking of boxes...
Skippy's special place.
This weekend, right now, going down in mere moments, Gracian 15. You guys don't want to miss it. Also, we're about 10 hours, 11 hours out from Bama Fight Night, the UK edition. There's a bunch, dude. Shine's going down. I said it twice this week on shows. Do not miss MMA Superheroes 5 going down in San Pablo. I believe it is where they're holding this event. Great, great stuff. Should be on Combate TV, I believe. Gladius Fights 12 going down in New York. Our boy will soon, I think 2 weeks from now, we have a whole show with the former ISKA MMA director for the state of New York. He has since left that position, just recently resigned in the last couple weeks, and he's going to spill some beans. I can't wait. Dude, he was telling me some crazy stories, guys. I'm talking about some, like, dude gets KO'd, like, obliterated, outshaken, twitching, and is licensed to fight a week later, dude. Gets knocked out again, and is licensed to fight a week later. Dude, referees punching fighters. Referees fighting with coaches in the back, guys showing up with, like, literally shit you cannot have blood work-wise in your system and still being told, well you know, you can fight.
Don't let the UFC find out. You know how they have mad, like, moms against drunk driving and stuff like that?
I saw that shit the other day.
There's a moms against UFC. And then I saw, and they attacked one of our clients, Efren Escudero, a little bit, and, like, he even tried to clarify it for him. Maybe you might want to change your Twitter handle. It's not UFC. The sport is actually mixed martial arts, and I'm a great father, which he is.
Yeah, you know, I saw all that.
Kids. And it just kind of cracked me up when I saw it. I was like, really? People, you know, they're, I mean, here's the thing, and actually I was talking about it with Jay Pagliaro last night. In the 20 years of the sportsman birth, we've had 4 deaths. I mean, last year in football, there was like 12 deaths of guys that play football, and America loves it. You know, if you want to go pick in line a fucking football game instead of let these guys, you know, get in there and do what they do, man. They put all that time in the gym to prepare for it. Allow them to, you know, don't hate on them for it because of the passion and choice of the sport that they choose to compete in as an athlete, you know?
Hey, okay. You guys, I know nobody here probably knows, and Jason, you do, just don't answer, but anybody want to take a wild guess how many people follow Moms Against the UFC?
4.
Oh, I don't know.
695, or 133 followers is what they have. That's it.
I feel better about my webpage now. Thank you.
All UFC riders should follow Mike Chappetta's lead and quit. I knew that they had riders for their fighters. Yeah, I'm reading that Efrain right now where he's going back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all bullshit, man.
Hey, Moms Against the UFC. My boyfriend is currently in the UFC. He acts pretty nice now. When will the meth addiction start? Save me. Oh, my God. We should just sit here and read these. These are great. Oh, my God. Classic quote. Assume means making an ass out of you and me. This is serious stuff. Moms against drunk driving. Oh, my God. Justin Bieber was a polite, sweet Canadian boy until the UFC wrapped their arms around him. I'm asking right now. I will give away 100 shirts and 20 pair of shin guards right now to the first person who can help me out with this because if you could prove to me that Justin Bieber went crazy without a doubt because of the UFC, I will be all over. I'll give you a ton of free shit.
I honestly think it's because of the scissor. And it's definitely the scissor.
He's a rich little bratty kid who has more money than God. He doesn't know what to do with it. He wants to fit in wherever he thinks it's cool.
Well, what it is, bro, Selena Gomez broke his heart, so he ran wild. And now he's been on the scissor because he's been hanging out with Wayne and all those cash money guys. He's trying to fit in, so he starts fucking drinking all that shit.
Look, I understand that, you know, he's wild, free, young, teenager. Look, you know, that old saying, I got high with kings and slept in a dumpster, you know, that's his life right now. That was my life. We've all kind of lived that party life for a while at different points of our lives. But in no way, shape, or form can you even convince me that the UFC had it. Because this guy's just a rich, spoiled kid. And I don't care what the UFC does. And nobody's going out there and killing people because they saw it at the UFC event. You want to bitch about something, ladies? Why don't you guys bitch about all these games these kids play, like Psych Ops 6 and Tom Clancy and Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
You're killing people or whatever. I mean, for real. Like, I see some of these games on TV.
Think about that shit that shows up in the news feed. Like
dude!
Last night on that news, and that's messed up, that stuff even shows up. They should focus on shit like that.
Yeah.
Not athletes.
Half these fucking video games that these kids are fucking crying wolf about to get their parents to buy or saving their money, their allowance money for, are all bullshit. They send the wrong message. You know? It is what it is, but you know, you want a young kid to learn how to shoot a rifle, but you want to hate on somebody that teaches you discipline, respect, and honor, sport, you know?
I agree.
Definitely.
You know what I got to say about that Facebook page, then go get their fucking shine box.
Hell yeah. Dude, I'm reading some of this shit. Moms Against the UFC, the fucking dumbest account on Twitter. Go fuck yourself and get a life. That's a pretty good one.
Dana White?
No, that was from Lauren Sheik. Lauren Sheik MMA. Follow her. Moms Against the UFC. You can either be a good father or a UFC fan. Make your choice, man. Look, does that mean I'm all right? Because I could be a good father because I don't really support the UFC. So because I watch everything but the UFC, I'm a good father. I might like these ladies.
You are. Yeah, that's. I think you got it nailed.
Oh, my God.
Like
here's the best question.
Because you need to, but you don't like it.
Here's I guess, a fact. Men who watch the UFC lose the ability to distinguish sex from violence in the same act. I can guarantee you I've never punched my wife during sex, folks, because that's not going to happen but one time on my way to jail. Okay, no man is out there watching the UFC and then going in the bedroom and, like, making love to his wife and dropping an elbow or throwing on a chokehold. He's like, no, come on. These ladies are crazy.
I might have done that once, but...
All UFC fans treat women like objects. They just want to make us ring girls.
Yeah. Everybody wants a 200-pound ring girl.
Oh, this is great. This is so great. I could read this all night.
Hey, I thought you'd canceled this show. What the hell's going on?
Oh, thank you to the Dude, here's the best one. Thank you to the FBI. We have sent a case file on the UFC's organized culture of hate and violence towards women and the gay and lesbian community as requested. I'm glad they're out there doing their own private investigation.
Against the gay and lesbian community? There's more lesbian fighters? Jeez, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dude, okay, now this one's classic because this isn't even close to being fucking right. UFC, a fighter admits he is addicted and the UFC promoted it. Well, contact our manager with support group info, Notorious Nick Newell. We love you, moms. Really? Really? When was he ever in the UFC? He missed his only shot. He should have signed before he had the brakes beat off him. And I don't care what anybody out there says, back of the shot head or not, he had the brakes beat off him. It was almost sad to watch. And my boy Justin made sure that his run to the UFC was over.
One is better than one.
But you know what, though? I will say this about Nick Newell. You have to respect him. Man that goes in there and fucking puts it in there. Even though he got his ass beat by KB.
I did not say anything about his talents. I did not say anything about his character or his heart. I said he had the brakes beat off him because that is what happened. Look, the kid is tough. The kid is, you know, phenomenally physically, I mean, just light years beyond me in shape. You know, the guy has a heart. He wouldn't quit. We saw that. It doesn't mean he didn't get beat. Diego Sanchez gets beat every single time he goes out there, but he has a heart, okay? But Nick Newell...
He gets a win on every other one.
...is not UFC material. It's sad for some people to hear that, but read the, you know, the fact...
Well, I'm not disagreeing. I don't think he's ready for the UFC.
I don't think he'll ever be ready. How are you going to put him in there against somebody like Ben Henderson?
Yeah.
One arm tied behind his back.
Okay.
Handicap
match. You know, I mean, dude, we could literally, the list could go on.
Put him in with Jorge Masvidal. Masvidal would fucking destroy the kid.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, the kid is, you know, for his limited abilities, he is super talented. No two ways about it. You can't question it. But there's also guys who fight regionally who are just great, but they're never going to be a top 10 fighter. It's just fact. This is the sport you guys and myself love, are part of, watch, train, fight, sponsor. There are just guys who are never going to make it. That's the fucking facts.
Yep.
Okay, not every single guy in college football is a Super Bowl winning champion, folks. And not everybody can be a top 10 fucking fighter. I know some people out there don't want to hear it, and some people out there can't admit it, but that's fucking reality.
No, I agree.
You know, you get in there and you start talking about, you know, some of the guys that he would be facing, you know, like Jim Miller, Nate Diaz, Spencer Fisher, Bender Henson, Joe Lozo. I mean, are you going to tell me any of those guys he's beating?
No.
Anthony Pettis? Edson Barbosa?
No. No.
I think he could beat Charlie Brenneman. I'm not going to lie. I think he can beat Charlie. I mean, but, you know, he's not going to beat, you know, K-Nob, not, however you say that crazy Russian, the Eagle, you know, what's that guy, like 6-1 in the UFC, you know, I mean, do you see him beating, you know, I mean, there's, you said Jorge Masvidal, you know, do you see him beating
Bobby Green? Green fucking play that wrestling game with him, bro.
I think Green, honestly, I think Green would out-wrestle him very easily. I mean,
yeah.
Guys, I mean, folks, we're talking, my opinion, so go ahead and tweet at me if you think I'm an asshole, because I don't care. It's STP tattoo. This is my opinion after watching thousands of fights and talking and seeing thousands of fighters perform in person, in video, with managers, with cornermen, with coaches. I mean, shit, I'm telling you right now, you know, dude, that top 10 in that weight class would kill him. I mean, you know, you put him in there against, like, Diego Sanchez. What do you think happens?
I think Diego will start saying yes.
Kill him. That'd be ridiculous.
Okay. Now, would you not agree that somebody like Diego, where you're coming in from another organization, would be a great test to see where you are when you are a contender somewhere else? I mean, we can all be honest. Diego's a gatekeeper now.
You know, I think that's a tough gate, though. I think there's better gates to come through. I don't know if that's a good one, but
yeah,
reasonably like that. He's got too much other stuff going for him.
Dude, if you bring somebody that touted, you've got to put him against your gatekeeper, period. You can't give him somebody else. You give him Diego, he beats Diego. You give him a guy like Gleason or Castillo or Jim Miller or, you know, Yves Edwards. You know, I'd like to see him face Jamie Varner. Put him in there against Jamie Varner then. Then give him Diego. How's that? That make you happy?
That's better. It's better.
What about what about Gray Maynard? What do you guys think of, you know, Gray Maynard would outbox this kid?
Yeah. I just think at this level, you got to have both arms. You can't beat everybody with one arm tied behind your back or one arm missing. You just can't. It's too high level.
I agree. And it's no disrespect to what they've done in their career, but you've got to face certain facts. Look, there was a guy who used to race cars back in Texas, and he had a blind eye. He was never allowed to get his super speedway license. But the guy won every trophy you could win in the state of Texas. Do you say he's a bad driver and couldn't, you know, at least try to compete with the big boys? No. The guy was, you know, hey, it was what it was, man. He accepted it.
You know what
that
guy was missing, bro? He needed Herbie in his life. So that way the car can do the driving.
Ah, I love it, dude. I love it. Hey, HR, yes, we are. We're doing it live right now. Yes. Hey, by the way, I want to give a big shout-out to Spar Star Promotions. You guys hit up MMAMadhouse.com or RearNakedSmoke.net, home of the Madhouse Global Combat Network, and you guys will see the side profiles of the page have changed from our logo to Tony's event, Fight Night, Spar Star. It's got a beautiful little chica all tattooed out. We got a big muscle guy, all that jazz. You'll find it on both sites. You'll also find the day of the event. We'll be streaming it live for free on rearnakedsmoke.net. Hey, and while we're at it, Jeff, I should tell you and all the fans, Chris Gregory is revising his role and coming back to work for MMAMadhouse.com and stepping down.
He's getting back into MMA now?
Yes, he's stepping down from running MMA Topics, and he's going to take a different position with us over at MMA Madhouse. And Lepaki is going to step down from his position at Madhouse and take over MMAtopics.net. And here's the great thing. It's about to become a very wonderful site. He is bringing in the Clinch Report, Adam the Martin Show, MMA Beatdown, and some other media outlets to take part of this project. So big shout out to Mr. Lepaki. Big shout out to Chris Gregory for the last 2.5 years of running that company for me and all the love. And I'm happy to have him back in the fall.
Where is that BMN tonight? Where is Lepaki?
He is fishing on the river, he said, up steelhead fishing or something.
That's
so,
fucking slacker.
Yeah, so
I'm
I want to give a big shout out.
Got another stripe on that white belt.
I want to give a big shout out right now to Chris for all that he's done for that company, man. I love the kid to death, and he is straight up just killed it. I love it, and you know I'm glad to have him back with us, and I'm honored to see what Lepaki's already going to do, and what he's already done has been just impressive. So
you guys see that little back and forth when Scott Cuthbert was messing with Chris the other day? That's pretty funny too.
Oh yeah. Well, and here's something really interesting is the PR guy, media guy for SFA and super tight with Scott is Adam the Martin Show. So he'll be bringing us a lot of tough enough because he's really tight with a lot of the cast members. He'll be bringing us a lot of SFA and RFA and Titan and World Series of Fighting stuff. Lepaki and Beatdown and Clinch are going to be bringing us Clinch Report are going to be bringing us a lot of UFC, World Series of Fighting, 1FC, EFC Africa, you know, so it's going to have that vibe, and we're going to keep all the local MMA to MMAMadhouse.com. It's going to be fun times. So bear with the changes on the site. And HR, let me know when you join. What else is going on? I thought we were going to have some buddies drop in tonight from Louisiana, but he hasn't called in yet.
Maybe he's passed out or he's on Bourbon Street.
Well, he is very close to fight week. You know, maybe he's just training super hard.
You know, what's interesting is we actually tried to make that fight happen, but we were turned down.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Before the big announcement that came out with him and his opponent.
Speaking of big announcement, did you see that beautiful cage down at Underground Battle 5 with the Madhouse logo? That was some sick shit, brother. That looked good. And then they, I don't know if, you know, you probably didn't, but, you know, because they tagged me, I saw all the pictures. They did like a 20-foot banner on the entrance to the mall and then like a 10-foot banner on the entrance to the cage on the wall right there. And then inside the cage, they had our logo 8-foot wide. It was beautiful, man. Big shout out to the GOAT. Jaffe Ferdy, I love you, brother. You know, GOAT for life right now. You know that. Big things coming from them guys. And I got like literally thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of gear piling up in the studio because I just haven't had a chance to ship it to them yet. But holy shit. Let me tell you what. Draco Impact Armor and Bushido Mixed Martial Arts and Fight Gear Company are sponsors over at MMAMadhouse.com. They threw it down, bro. I'm talking like pallets of gear. Dude. I've never seen so much gear in one place. It's insane. They gave me enough to basically outfit 32 fighters completely, and then with everything you could possibly ask for. And then they also gave us, oh, look at that. One, two, three, four, five, for four girl fights. It's Superheroes MMA 5 tomorrow night, man. Boom. They also gave me some extra gear for some of the younger kids. Let's see who we got here. 740, who do we got?
Hey, man, it's Waylon. What's up?
Hey, what's up, killer?
Hey, not much, man. I just got a little bit of comments about the DC versus John Jones fight. Everybody's counting out DC like he's nothing. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to jump on the bandwagon or nothing, but I think DC's going to fucking destroy him, dude, in my honest opinion.
I have to agree.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
Like, it's a bad matchup.
Look, Waylon, first of all, I want you to meet, this is Jason. He runs MMA United. It's a sports management company. Also on the line tonight, we got the owner of Clinch Cuts the Mouth Guards, Jeff, with us. Everybody, this is Waylon, one of Beatdown's boys. Beatdown's a regular on the show. We got mad love for MMA Beatdown. You guys get over there and check his Facebook page out. Like it, share it. I'm on the John Jones boat. Jeff, I'm not sure where you are exactly, but let's break this down. I want, in your opinion, man, why do you think Cormier can beat Jones?
Well, he's got the heavyweight strength. He's got knockout power in both hands, which John Jones doesn't. Plus, he's a pit bull. As soon as he gets a hold of you, he can toss you around. You know, look what he did to Josh Barnett, even, you know, kind of tossed Bigfoot Silver around, who cuts weight to get to 265, and he's carrying that down to 205. And what he's done, what he did to Dan Henderson, I have not ever seen in my life. You know, I know Dan Henderson's old and stuff, but, oh, my God, I mean, he picked him up like he was WWE, you know what I mean, just slammed him, tripped him, and then choked him unconscious. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, everybody's just like, DC, he's going to get knocked out, he's going to get subbed and all this stuff. Well, he fought Frank Mir and he didn't get subbed. He fought Warren Nelson and he didn't get subbed, and they both got great jiu-jitsu, you know. I'm not saying that he can't get subbed by John Jones, but, you know, I'm pulling for DC in this fight. I think it's a bad matchup for John Jones.
Well, look, Jason, I know I'm going to jump in real quick because I know that you're on his boat. Jeff, which side of the fence are you on?
Jones.
Okay. Look, this is what I see happening. And this is just, you know, like you, this is my opinion. I see Jones, first of all, able to use his reach and his footwork to hopefully keep distance and drag the fight out. I see it going to a decision either way. I do. I see John Jones winning a decision and probably a boring, boring fight. What I ultimately see happening is no matter who wins it, getting their ass kicked by Rumble. Okay, that's just, I'm telling everybody right now, you guys watch out. Rumble's going to beat the shit out of some people. Okay, but
Rumble's going to wear that Gustafson too.
Dude, well, this is the thing is, you know, Gus is out. Rumble picks up one more quick victory, which I'm hoping that it's Glover they face him against. But, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. I think that John Jones will retain the title in a boring fight. I think he's going to do a lot of running. I think he's going to do a lot of those stupid oblique kicks. I know that Cormier's fought guys with a reach. Okay? We've seen it. We've seen what he does when he gets them up against the cage and he leans on them and he's dirty. I just think athletically and striking-wise, Jones plays a smart, stay-away fight and hopes for a Rumble Johnson fight before Gus Still. I think he's scared of Gus because Gus beat him and he knows it in his heart, my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I think the UFC is going to be a dick and put Gustafson against Rumble. That's what I think is going to happen because they don't want to hurt John Jones's little, you know, happy-go-lucky poster boy career. I think he's going to put on a boring fucking fight and he's going to win on a decision. That's my opinion. I think a lot of people out there disagree with me, and they think Cormier is going to finish him. I know you feel that it's going to be drawn out to possibly a decision. So it's going to be an interesting fight. It really, you know, for the people out there who are super, you know, into the Zuffa scene, they're going to be really glued to this fight. I think there's better fights coming up around that event and even on that event, but I just think
that's
a boring fight. You know what I mean?
I'm just really excited, man. Like, I haven't been this pumped for a fight since Silva versus Sonnen 2. You know, like, I don't know. I just thought there's something special about DC. You know what I mean? He's an Olympian. And just the way he picks up people and slams them, man. I mean, my God. I don't see how you don't knock them unconscious just by that, you know?
Look,
like,
I'm the
like
first
what you
one
said,
to say.
I hope it ain't a boring fight, though. I really do. Like, I hope it ain't a boring fight. That's just
I'm
my
the
thing.
First one who came out and said, this alternate in the Strikeforce tournament ain't going to do shit. He won it. This guy ain't going to win the UFC. He won it. This guy's ain't going to make it when he drops down. He's done it. I've been consistently wrong about him. And when he fought Big Country, I was like, that's where he's going to finally lose. Big Country can keep with him on the ground.
Same here. I really thought that,
you know?
Too. Yeah.
But it didn't happen. So, you know, you're right. He could possibly be the Ben Askren of the heavyweight division, and that just be reality. But I personally think on this card, you're going to see a better fight between Jorge Masvidal and Bobby Green. I think you'll see John Howard.
Conor McGregor. Oh, man, that's going to be a sick fight, too.
Well, okay, what do you guys... Yeah, what do you guys think about Tim Kennedy facing this Romero guy, you know, really solid, solid record?
I think Yoel Romero is going to win, honestly. I think he's going to outclass Tim Kennedy. He's got great wrestling. Every time he strikes, you know, he's ever improving. He is old. I think he's like 37 or 38 or something like that. I'm not
for
sure. But
Yoel doesn't have a shit stain on his pants this time.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fucking pretty crazy.
No, he's a
good
guy, man.
I'm pulling for Romero.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good fight. It depends on what Tim Kennedy shows up. Another
he's a great fighter too. You know,
dude, he's a solid fighter, and I mean, his losses, you know, aren't like, you know, you're like, dude, this guy just sucks. You know, I mean, he puts on just great wars. I'd have to look, but has he ever been finished in a loss? I don't believe he has. I could be wrong, folks, but I believe he's, what, 4 losses in his career, and I don't believe any of them were finishes, but I could be wrong. Hold on a second. Let's check this out. Hey, 305, who do we got?
What's going on, gentlemen? It's Shelva Bonas down here in Miami.
Hey, how you doing tonight, brother?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, we're just kind of all bullshitting.
Who do you pick, Shaw, DC or Jones?
Man, I'm going to take Jones just because I just think that in the stand-up is just a lot of – there's a huge level difference. In the wrestling, people got to understand it's wrestling for MMA. It's not like Olympic wrestling. So it changes things up a little bit. And still, you know, DC, I give DC the edge in wrestling, even wrestling for MMA, but it's not going to be that huge difference that people are thinking about just because the MMA aspect of it kind of evens things out. But I see Jones coming away with a decision victory in a boring fight, though. I think Jones is going to play it real, real safe, try not to get involved in too many clinches, just pot shot from the outside and not take too many risks. So I think that's going to be a sleeper.
Oh, I agree,
well,
100%.
He can also mix it up with takedowns, though. I mean, he just don't shoot. He also, like, throws punches and mixes it up with takedowns like GSP did. But, I mean, anything can happen. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. I hope it's not a boring fight. I hope I'm right. I hope DC, you know, wins and shit. But, you know, John Jones looks unstoppable so far. With the exception of the Gus fight, I think Gus won that fight, in my opinion. I don't know how in the hell they gave Jones that fight, but, you know.
Yeah, I thought Dustin won that fight too, and like you can see the type of guys that'll give Jones problems, like the guys that can stand in front of him, volume punch, and stop a takedown a little bit. But Jones is really good when he's got a huge reach advantage because he can pot shot from the outside. But when he gets involved in exchanges, you can at that point you can tell his inexperience in the striking game.
Oh, my God. It sounds exactly like what I said, folks. I like you.
Yeah, like you can tell, like Gustafson's been boxing since he was like 13. So you get two guys sitting in boxing range when somebody's got that much more experience on you, and Jones got exposed a little bit that fight.
Yeah, even Jones kind of got like exposed a little bit with the Machida fight in the first round. I mean, like when Machida exploded on him, but you know, afterwards you saw what happened. Machida almost like he got killed. You know, but yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the weak point for people who, like, explodes on him a little bit or has, like, a similar reach or, you know, strength.
Yeah, but something that John Jones does not perform well against is true 205. Let's be honest. A lot of the guys in his career were 185ers at most of their career. The few 205ers that he's faced that gave him trouble are true guys cutting weight like him. They're the same height. They're the same build. So I think, once again, Cormier is going to fall into that Rampage line and the Machida and the Vitor. He's going to fall into that, even though he's truly a bigger guy cutting weight. But if I'm not mistaken, he wrestled at like 180 in college. You know, so, I mean, he's truly a smaller guy. And, that, you know, if he was truly as healthy as he could be. You know, because he cut the 205 pretty easy. He could cut the 185, but, you know, I understand he wants to fight at 205. I don't think he has what it takes to beat Jones. I just don't.
Well, Jones is
I think Jones
will
too dynamic for him.
And let's be honest, right now, Winklejohn has devised the best game plan out there.
Jackson's MMA is definitely a great camp, man. I know Dana White always talks shit about, you know, Greg Jackson and Winklejohn and all that stuff, but let's just be real. The wins speak for themselves, you know what I mean? You could talk about Team Alpha Male, then Greg Jackson, or B. Jackson, that's what I'm saying. In my opinion, this is the best camps in MMA, you know, especially with Winklejohn. He's a great striking coach.
And folks out there listening tonight, if you don't think that John Jones is putting serious fucking rounds with Alistair, you guys are mistaken. Because that's a legitimate, you know, training partner for him, who at one point was one of the top 10 strikers in the world in the heavyweight class. And
did you hear about this? Rumble's wanting to fight Alistair.
I like that fight.
Yeah, me too, man.
Except the fact that in the last 5 years, Alistair's chin has gotten worse.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he's getting so big, too. Like, cardio has a big factor to do with chin, too, and he's got horrible cardio.
Amen. He ain't, you know, he's not 24 years old anymore fighting in K1. This is a different style of cardio.
Yeah. Plus being popped for testosterone, those big muscles need a lot of oxygen to operate, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
See how much smaller he is now compared to how he was fucking a year ago?
Yeah, he's looking like he's shrinking every time I see a picture of him.
He
looks healthy.
I mean, fuck, I stood next to him at a CFA event a year and a half ago, and he wasn't as big as I thought he was. He's a person.
Well,
I actually made him look like the little guy standing next to me with Tender Aronic.
Yeah, it's very, very weird with Alistair over him. He's transformed his body a lot. You know, we saw the skinny version in Pride, then we saw the fucking muscle-bound version, then now we're seeing the flabby version because, you know, drug testing in UFC. But, I mean, yeah, his chin, you know, I think it is diminished. He's been knocked out how many times? 9, something like that, 9 or 10 times. I might be mistaken about that, but he's been knocked out a lot. But I do like the Anthony Rumble Johnson fight, man. I think Anthony would win that fight, and everybody would, you know, love him more, you know.
I think, that's a great fight. I mean, it is. But, you know, my big thing with, you know, Alistair right now, you know, is the knockout from Antonio and the knockout from Travis. You know, I mean, you know, God, you got to go back to, I believe, like, I know it was Heroes, but I can't tell you which Heroes off the top of my head. But when Sergey Karatana just destroyed him at the end of that first round, I mean, that's, you know, that's the last time that you really saw him just get obliterated until he stepped up against Brownie and Silva. And maybe something mentally in his game changed. Maybe that whole South Beach life and the partying and, you know, and look, let's be honest, folks. We all know, we've all heard the stories about instead of him being at the gym, he was out with 12 guys paying for champagne at some club. You know, we heard the stories.
Yeah.
Anybody who follows the sport isn't retarded. Anybody who watched his documentary series go from 45 minutes of him training and 10 minutes of him talking to him driving down fucking the main strip in South Beach in a convertible Ferrari talking shit. You know, big difference has changed. So maybe that had something to do with it. And this transformation to a camp that is very low profile, very non-Hollywood, South Beach, is going to be good for him because he looked like shit in both those fights. Whether he would have won them or lost them, getting knocked out to me isn't the big issue. The big issue was he looked like shit. His footwork was sloppy. He was gassing. His punching just looked sloppy. His takedown defense wasn't where it should have been. And he is somebody who folks don't realize he has a solid fucking background in BJJ.
Yeah, he submitted a – who did he submit, actually?
Well, dude, he submitted Gary Goodridge. James Thompson, I remember he submitted him. Didn't he submit Mark Hunt, too,
Vitor.
In Dream?
And Vitor, yeah. He submitted Vitor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
dude,
I think he submitted Mark Hunt, too.
Yeah, he's always had a good guillotine.
Dude, you know, I mean, I think a test like Rumble would be good. You know, I really do. I think that could say where he is with this camp and his progression and mental state. But I don't see the UFC doing it because to them, that's a main card event. And right now, their main cards are filled. You know, let's be honest. They've got nothing for, you know, at least 3 months, 4 months that they can put him on unless there's a fallout.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
You know, and I know that Dana wants to get Rumble a shot so, because, you know, so he's a legitimate title contender, and Alistair's not it. That's not a legitimate title contender fight.
So who do you think's next for Rumble? Is it Glover or, let's see, who'd be a good fight for
Glover.
Rumble?
I think Glover. That's what I said earlier tonight was Glover.
Yeah.
Because
I agree,
Dana's going to look at it, and Joe Silver is going to look at it like, you know, Glover can bang, let's be honest, and Glover can go to the ground. And they're going to want to test Rumble's cardio because they're still questioning it because his fights have been too quick.
Yep. He's been destroying everybody. You know, the way he handled Phil Davis was phenomenal. You know, I was like, watch, he's going to win. I got lucky with that. I was, you know, just talking shit, really. But the way he handled Phil Davis was spectacular. And what he did to Little Nog, I mean, fuck. It was like target practice. You know what I mean? He was just like, boom, boom, boom. And it was all, just over.
It was sad. It was very sad
for
me
as a fan. Yeah, it really
was sad,
yeah.
It was sad
to
see.
Yeah, I'm a Nogueira fan, you know. I'm a Nogueira fan throughout and through, but that was a great performance by Rumble, man. I mean, seriously, them uppercuts, like what Joe said, it wasn't just wild. It was actually really, really good placement. And Anthony should have been fighting at this weight class a long time ago.
I agree. And so you folks know, just because I mentioned it earlier, unless a fight fell out main card-wise, dude, the next possible main card event is February 28th in London. And they're not bringing Rumble over for that unless he's fighting somebody from Europe. And Alistair could be a good draw, but I just don't see it being a contender fight, and that's too far out. You're talking, what, 5 months? 6 months?
Fuck yeah,
they're not...
dude, that's a long time. What do you guys think about Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz?
Ooh.
I'm curious to see who talks more shit.
Man, I'm a huge fan. Anderson Silva's probably my favorite fighter of all time, but I think that, you know, I don't want to see him get knocked out again, man. Like, I think Cesar Gracie said that Anderson Shin might be diminished or something like that. I don't remember the exact quote, but, you know, I kind of agree. I don't know if I'm just being, like, too big of a fan of him. I don't want to see him lose again or what, but I don't know. I think it's a bad fight, you know, that they're going to stand up, and Nick Diaz is really, really tough, you know. 2 years ago, Anderson would have ate him, you know what I mean? Now, I think that Nick Diaz might pull it off, and you'll be seeing a bunch of people being like, yeah, Nick Diaz is going to beat Chris Weidman and all that shit, you know. But
well, I think it's going to come down to, like, Nick is notorious for walking people down and talking shit. I think when they're going to the exchange, you know, I think they're going to be talking shit to each other and then just fucking flurry. I think it's going to be exciting.
I disagree. I'm telling you, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the KJ Nunes, Nick Diaz fight in Strikeforce. You're going to see two guys box, legitimately box. I don't see it going to the ground. I see two dudes standing in the middle of the cage trying to demand respect from the other one by using...
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where they're standing in each other's face and talking shit to each other and doing their little antics and then swinging on each other.
I don't think there's going to be any antics. I think we're going to see obviously main event 5-round boxing match, and I truly think it's going to be just almost pure boxing being on display. You're talking about two of the best strikers in the UFC's history, man. Let's be honest. Those two guys are solid, solid, solid strikers. Technically fucking sound.
Yeah. Especially Anderson Silva, you know. I mean, back in the, like, I hate even saying this back in his day because it's not even that long ago, but, like, his chin was iron. I remember him eating, like, two H-bombs whenever he fought Hendo. And I was like, nobody's knocking that guy out, you know what I'm saying? And his head movement was just phenomenal and all that stuff. And his head movement still is phenomenal. I just hope that I don't want it to turn into a Damian Maia fight, which Nick Diaz is not Damian Maia. He's going to strike back. That's going to be very, very interesting. Hopefully, like, we see an Anderson Silva type, like, when he fought Vitor. Because he really didn't clown around in that fight. He was kind of serious, and you saw what happened. You know, front kick Vitor.
No, he's not going to have any time to clown around. Nick's going to be in his face.
Yeah. I don't want to see Anderson clown around, man, in this fight. You know, I don't want to see him get hurt, to be honest with you.
I'm sorry, I'm trash. What was your name again? What did you say it was?
Shaw.
Oh, okay. Shaw, do you see it becoming a ground battle at all, or do you agree with most of us that it's going to be a stand-up war?
No, I think it's going to be a boxing match, too. I don't see Anderson throwing any leg kicks anytime soon. So I think it's going to be mostly stand-up the entire time. And just like you said, it might turn into KJ Nunes, Nick Diaz part 3. Let's see if, you know, Nick Diaz has a lot of problem with scar tissue and stuff like that. So if this fight stays on the feet a while, we'll see if his pace holds up.
Good point.
Well, Nick Diaz is kind of, you know, we as fans think he's dumb and shit, especially with his interviews, you know, because he's like, yeah, you know, what's up and all that stuff. But who knows? He is great on the ground. Maybe he will drop for a knee bar and try to do, you know, one of those, try to get a knee bar off that broken leg or something. He might pull guard. Who knows? But I do tend to think that it is going to be a stand-up fight. But Nick Diaz is smart when it comes to the fighting aspect. If he wants to beat the greatest pound-for-pound fighter of all time, he'll beat him in any way he can. You know what I mean? And if it's not going to work out with the striking, who knows? He might pull guard and try to go for a nickel lock, knee bar, something. And he's great off his back. You know, he's very, very tricky.
See, I see Diaz, honestly, I think for Diaz, this is about money. He needs to go in there and technically pick apart and leave a bloody war on the mat, so Dana has to pay him more money. He's going to say, look, I put on fight of the year. I've just beat the greatest fighter you've ever had in your organization in a stand-up war. The fans are still chanting my name a week later. I want the Gilbert Melendez money.
Every time you mention Nick Diaz on a post or something, it's automatic, like 200 fucking comments, good or bad. You know, the guy, like I said, he might be, like, mentally challenged or something, but he's got something about him that makes people talk about him, you know. And plus, he can back his shit up.
Hey, backing him up is H.R. Baker, out of one of the writers for MMAMadhouse.com. He says Diaz beats him either way, standing up or on the ground. Does anybody here would like to see the jiu-jitsu match between them two?
I think Diaz submits Anderson if they get on the ground for a while. Yeah, Nick's nasty on the ground.
Yeah, Nick would submit him on the ground. I love Anderson, man. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time. But, if it gets on the ground, dude, Nick is tricky. He's very good off his back.
Let's be honest. Everybody said that would... He was going to lose to Travis Luter's BJJ. Look what happened. And by the way,
Travis,
big shout out to
Travis. He was really dehydrated and all kinds of other things. He has all
Travis Luter had him mounted, though, and he just gassed.
Yeah.
That's a valid point.
But Anderson Silva still submitted him, though. I mean, that is pretty damn
and he
good.
Submitted Chael.
But Chael sucked on the ground.
You guys want to hear something funny?
I think Warren beat him three times in a row.
Travis Luter's over 300.
What do y'all think, what do you guys think Chael Sonnen is going to do in that jiu-jitsu tournament, or has he already competed in it?
You get his ass whooped.
I didn't get
his ass whooped. Yeah, same here. I can't believe that the fucking Vanderlei Silva and Michelle Sonnen fight didn't happen. I was so pissed off with both of them.
I got to say, the Meta Morris event, I agree with everybody. Look, his American wrestling is not going to hang in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match. It's just not.
Hell no.
It's different. I understand why they're doing it. Money sales, pump it. I think the Matt Hughes fight and Gracie fight is also the same kind of thing. Gracie is going to tap him out in a pure jiu-jitsu match. Matt Hughes is not going to beat him with the American wrestling in a BJJ match. You're just not.
Matt Hughes is also at Coconut Creek now preparing for that fight. Down with Robbie Lawler at ATT.
Yeah, but it's a grappling match. It's going to be pure jiu-jitsu.
It don't matter, but what I'm saying is this, is that I think that Matt might surprise people a little bit.
Well, I understand he's got great jits. Look, I mean, we've seen it in MMA. He can grapple. Okay, we've seen it. But this is a whole nother world. This is a whole nother level of competition. Dude, you're talking about one of the greatest Brazilian jiu-jitsu matches in the last 20 years just went down at the last Meta Morris. I mean, that was a phenomenal match between Gracie and Eddie Bravo. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, when we start talking that level of BJJ where these guys look at MMA and say, fuck that. Come on over here and get down here where you can't throw punches. You can't throw kicks. You've got to, you know, do this, and I can submit you 86 different ways with your gi and without your gi. You know, this is a different world, man. And when you bring Chael Sonnen over, he comes from Team Quest. Great. I love Matt Lindland, Scott, Aaron Hall, all the boys. Big shout-out to you guys. We've seen the great train with them. Matt Lindland is a U.S. Olympic wrestling coach right now as we speak. Okay, wrestling. I understand they have great BJJ coming out of that gym, okay? There's no doubts about it. But it's a wrestling-based program. These guys do BJJ 7 days a week, three times a day, for 25 years.
Yes, since they've been little kids, you know. What's that one guy submitted Matt Lindman twice in a fight? Damn it, I can't remember his name. Fucking drunk right now, dude.
Everybody
twice
is.
Hi, dude. Fucking.
I'm gonna catch up to you guys. Hold on, let me go grab a beer.
You know, look, this is what it's about, man. We do this shit almost every Friday, pretty much for the last 3 years. I mean, this is what it's about—just a bunch of guys kicking back, getting drunk, talking MMA. And it's interesting to see some of your guys' points because it's open to me to look at fights a little different. Fighting and Metamoris are two different things. I mean, big time. I mean, I watch the IBJ, you know, the judo competitions on YouTube every weekend. I watch, you know, Grappler's Quest. I watch the American Wrestling, you know, that we run on our websites and stuff. Dude, BJJ is just a different beast, man. And I think the whole Matt Hughes and no disrespect to him in his game, but Matt Hughes and Chael Sonnen both are just going in for a paycheck.
Yeah, I haven't seen Matt Hughes been training or anything. You know, that's pretty interesting that he is training Robbie Lawler and all that stuff. But I thought he was just being like Chuck Liddell and just sitting on the sidelines. You know what I mean? I didn't know he was training or anything.
No, he's in Florida training for it right now at Coconut Creek because Laborio just posted a picture talking about it's official. And Matt was wearing an American Top Team shirt.
Damn. I mean, that's pretty damn good, though.
The great gyms, and they got great coaches. Let's be honest. They got some great coaches down there.
Benzo Gracie's a Gracie. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
There's something about that. I mean, whenever he fought in Abu Dhabi, you could tell that there was some cardio issues with Enzo and all that other stuff. Plus, Matt Hughes was whooping his ass with the fucking leg kicks. If they grapple, I don't think it's going to turn out like the Royce Gracie type situation. I mean, but who knows? Matt Hughes is very strong. He submitted a fucking big dog, Ricardo Almeida, you know, with that front choke. I mean, that was crazy. I did not think he would win like that. I actually thought he was going to get knocked out. I think that was like UFC, what, 117, something like that, 118. Submitted to Ricardo, or whatever his name is, big dog, fucking, yeah. I mean, he's got submission skills. Matt Hughes is strong as shit, and he can, who knows what will happen, but I think Enzo will submit him, probably with a Kimura or something. You know, not with the Kimura, with the choke. You know, something, I don't know, off his back, for sure.
How does this work? Is it submission only?
Yeah. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Are they wearing gis or is it no gi?
Well, that's interesting because it depends, I guess, on what they agreed because you're going to see both, I guarantee you. You're going to see some people in gi matches and some in no gi. I guess that's a good question to find out, you know, if anybody out there knows whether it's going to be – yeah, I'm looking right now to see if there's any – What do you guys think? Well, we're talking about it. What do you guys think about Josh Barnett and Dean Lister going at it?
Oh, shit. I found out about that, and I was like, well, it's a big weight difference, but I'm not going to count out Dean Lister. He's a beast himself, you know. So, but I'm going to give it to Josh Barnett just by the size and weight advantage. You know what I mean?
Shit,
he's good on the ground.
Dude, I just pulled up Andre Galvo's recent record at the last Abu Dhabi. He took gold in Super Fight Absolute and 88 kilograms.
Yeah, now he's going to smash Chael Sonnen.
Yeah.
He's going to smash him.
It's going to look worse than the Damian Maia fight. I guarantee that.
I like if Matt Hughes. I'm sure Matt Hughes is doing no-gi. I don't. You know, I think that match is going to last a long time. I don't think Hughes, because Hughes, you know, he's going to be on top because he's got the better wrestling, and it's going to take a while for him to get tired and submitted. So that'll be a marathon. That'll be a pretty good one.
See, I could see that one going a lot longer. I don't see Chael's going, I think, the full time, you know.
I give Chael 2 minutes.
Wow. I was going to say, like, five, but, you know, because I figured Chael tried to keep it standing up, playing paw, you know, a little pawing at his head for a couple minutes, you know.
Hey, Chael loses all his fights in MMA by submission most of the time. If you look at his record, all his, like, I'd say probably 75% of his losses are by submission.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jeremy Horn submitted him, what, 3 times in a row? Fucking Anderson Silva submitted him.
Jeremy Horn submitted a lot of motherfuckers, man.
Oh, sure, yeah. Jeremy Horn fought the planet.
Holy
you know what I mean?
Shit.
He's got like over 100 fucking fights over on his record.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, dude. 8 submission losses and 5 knockouts.
There you go.
Is that Chael Sonnen?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't like his chance. I don't like his chance against the best in the world.
Yeah, dude. Shogun choked him out in under 5 minutes. Brian Stann choked him out in the second round. Let's see. Anderson Silva submission, Damian Maia submission, Paulo Filho submission, Jeremy Horn, Renault Sobral. Yeah, dude, like, I mean, people that shouldn't be tapping him out are tapping him out.
It's weird, though, how he submitted Shogun and Brian Stann. I mean, Brian Stann is kind of a given submission, you know, but the Shogun fight, I was like, wow, Joe, you know what I mean? Good job. But I think that was kind of a, I don't know, it ain't really a lucky guillotine, but still, you know what I mean? He still submitted fucking Shogun. That was pretty good. But I don't think he's going to submit the best fucking jiu-jitsu practitioner in the world, especially the guy we're talking about right now.
Andre Galvo.
To be honest with
you,
he might even get on top of Chael Sonnen and get like a, you know, a mounted triangle or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he might wear all kinds of shit.
He'll sweep Chael within the first minute. Chael's on top. Chael gets swept.
Yeah, dude, look. Okay,
Chael's fucked either way.
Yeah, look at this, okay? So in 2014 at the Pan Americans, he took gold again, all in absolute and ultra heavy, and he did it the year before as well, okay? And then the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu World Cup in Abu Dhabi, he took gold for 88 kilograms. And he's fucking 5-2 in MMA. I mean, so I think he's going to be well prepared, you know? I mean, I think he's going to choke the shit out of him, and I think you might be right in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Well, gentlemen, I got to get going, but, man, next Friday I'd love to sit down and talk some smack with you guys. What time you guys start this thing up?
We started at 10 o'clock on the east-west coast and run till like, midnight 1. So I guess it starts at, like, 1 your time, right? Because we're 3 hours down.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah,
yeah,
I just finished bartending right now.
Oh, dude, shit. That's cool, bro. We do it almost every single Friday, man. So call in, bullshit with us anytime.
All right, fellas. Have a good night.
Later.
You too, man.
Later.
I just called Carl to talk to you about what I can do. All right, brother?
Man, anybody find out how Roma lost?
Who? Roma who?
Pollock? Is that it? Pollock?
I don't think I heard about that one.
Dude, okay. Well, we're still talking. You know, everybody's still bitching about she got to keep the belt even though she missed weight. Unfortunately, the governing body, the ISKA, basically has no real rules. The last time we fought there was no pound allowance for anyone, but this time she got pound allowances. She still didn't make weight and refused to cut anymore. We were told she wouldn't be eligible for a title fight, but after they awarded it to her in the cage. I asked the ISKA rep, and he said, it's tough enough choice, not mine. Aspen did a great job, and she had a great win, but unfortunately she was given a title anyway. Roma worked her ass off, and maybe we should have just canceled. That's her management.
Wow, so she got awarded for not making weight.
Yep.
Pretty much. That's bullshit. What about the other camp? You know what I mean? Like, they sacrificed fucking food and everything else just to make that weight, and the other person just bullshits around, you know. Which I don't know that person personally, you know what I mean? But come on. How are you going to do that? Make it like a catch weight or a non-title fight, you know?
Well, I got some theories, but I'll keep them to myself, but of why that would happen. But because the organization are good friends of mine, and I find it kind of interesting that, she choked her out.
Damn.
Oh. But I understand giving her the victory, but I don't understand giving her the title. She missed weight.
Yeah. That would have been like the same situation with like Travis Luter and Anderson Silva. Like if Travis Luter would have won that fight back in the day, he wouldn't have won the title. You know what I mean? Because he didn't make weight, you know.
And folks, I want to correct that. I'm seeing, one person said she won by a standing guillotine. The other one said she won by a KO first round. Either way, she finished her in the first round. I just don't know which, folks. Because one post says KO, first round. One says standing guillotine. I tell you what, Roma's no joke. I mean, she's a local girl up here. We know who she is. She's tough. But I told everybody this at the beginning of this show, and I did on Wednesday's show, straight up, this is a tough, tough test. Aspen is legit.
I'm going to have to look them up.
Yeah, these young ladies are beasts, man, but...
What about Holly Holmes, man? She's a beast, dude. She's kicking everybody's heads off, man. I'd like to see her and Ronda fight, to be honest with you.
I don't. I think she needs to get tested first.
Well, yeah, of course, you know. But I think that if she does get tested, I think she'll pass some tests. And hopefully, you know, she'll fight fucking Ronda. Because I think Ronda's stand-up, I like Ronda, don't get me wrong, but I think her stand-up's kind of, you know, better than mine. I don't fucking do that shit, you know what I'm saying? But I think kind of weak compared to everybody else, you know what I mean? And Holly Holmes is on a different level compared to stand-up. And all she got to do is, like, stuff the takedowns, which I don't think she can unless she works on it. But if she keeps the distance, she can land that head kick. And if she lands that head kick, man, Ronda's going to be out for something. Something's going to happen. I guarantee that, you know. Holly Holmes is no joke. I've been watching a lot of her fights.
Her stand-up is legit. Her stand-up is definitely legit. I mean, there's no, you can't question that.
Well, fellas, I'm going to call it a night.
Cool, Jason. Hey, you know I got mad love for you, brother.
I appreciate you. Always, brother. Real quick, though, I just want to shout out PCSR out of Olympia. Man, you can, your computer worked on repair. Go check out Sean Burdett. Tell him MMA United sent him to you. Alchemy Water, official water of MMA United. Keep our athletes hydrated. Go check them out. And MMA Signatures, MMA Madhouse, Skippy Cohen, best mouth guard in the business, Jeff Clench, always taking care of our athletes, protecting their grill. Make sure they can smile after they go in there and bang it out and fight their wars. And it's always a pleasure, gentlemen, and I will be talking to you guys soon.
All right.
Later,
bro.
Later. Do you know what's really shitty, Jeff? Just now, I was checking my email real quick, and I had a notification on VK.com. That's like the Russian Facebook. I'm a member on like every possible social media site because of my company. But I was like, oh, dude, a new video posted. Maybe Oplot's back. So I went to it, and it's like a government video of a bunch of like dudes with guns running down an alley. I'm like, oh, man. Dude, you got to understand. Waylon, dude, this league, Oplot, literally, like 42 pro and 42 amateur MMA events in a year, dude. And, like, they put them on at this two-story strip club in Russia, well, in the Ukraine. And I love this. I mean, like, every Friday and Saturday, you'd find me just tweeting the shit out of their stuff, watching it. It was a clean, perfect stream. The fights were always good. They had literally 300 pro fighters from, like, 20 countries on their card. I mean, guys from Jeff's neck of the woods up in Washington. I mean, guys from Texas. It was just an insane fucking event. I loved it.
Oplot
is the shit. Oplot.
Oplot?
Translates to white collar fighting. And they had tournaments. They had like strippers in between the fights. It was just crazy.
That's fucking awesome. Hell yeah.
Dude, like me and Jeff one night, we were all trashed. And we went and we were checking them out, you know. This is way back when they were first rocking. And they were, like, hiring $20 an hour cooks and shit, dude. We were like, dude, we should go work at the club, dude, and fucking watch free fights. if I was a single man, I would have been moving to Russia and working at this place. Oh, dude, that's right, Baker. Dude, Baker pointed. He did HR Baker, everyone. He's checking out. He's jamming with the show tonight. They had the greatest cage door you've ever seen, bro. It went straight up fucking Star Wars style. It didn't swing out, didn't swing in. It went straight up and down, man. Like, you'd walk up to it, and the whole door would just raise up. And then you'd
like
walk
gladiator
in.
Gladiator type shit.
Fuck, dude. Yes. Yes.
That's
dude.
Awesome, dude.
Oplot was
prepare
the shit.
Prepare to battle.
Dude, like they threw these, like, college night, fight night deals where, like, everyone, like, 21 to 30 could get in for free. And, like, it was just crazy. Like, it was the best MMA event going. It was my pro MMA league of the year for 2012. And into 2013, they were leading, and then a fucking war broke out.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I wish somebody would stop it, because that was the greatest MMA on earth. But yeah, if you ever go to the YouTube site, you can check it out. They got, like, tons of fights on there. And their logo in the center of the cage is, like, this big pissed-off rhino with boxing gloves or Muay Thai gloves on it. You know, some kind of fight glove. Yeah, it's
what's
pretty
it
cool.
What's it called one time, man?
Oplot. And it's spelled...
Oplot.
It's spelled O-P-O-L-T.
All
right?
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man,
yeah,
I'm going to get off here, dude.
Yeah.
It's about
no problem,
2:30 over here, man. Hey, man, nice talking to you, dude. MMA beatdown kicks fucking ass, man. Radio show kicks ass, too, dude. Keep it up.
Anytime you want to drop in, you come on in, brother. We're always here.
Always will, man. Later, bro.
Later. Well, that just leaves Jeff. And you know what, Jeff? I think we'll call this a night and wrap it up. I know you probably passed out. Where's the closing for this song? Oh, do you know what? Let's close with this. Eagle.
Tech support, my name is Kunal. How may I be of assistance?
Yeah, hi. Your website logged me out, and now it won't take my password.
I can take care of that for you, sir. What site were you using?
Sticky Tits.
I'm sorry?
StickyTits.jizz.
Okay, sir. And can I get your username?
Oh, my name is Mark.
Hi, Mark. I said your username.
Dr. Cocter.
Oh, is that a DR or
is
it
spelled out?
And for security purposes, what was the name of your first pet?
Charlie, but that's not what I wrote down.
What did you write, sir?
I put, screw this question, I want to jerk it.
And we're good. Now, what video were you watching?
I had a bunch of different tabs open, I don't know.
Anything you can remember, sir.
So is this necessary?
Yes, sir. It'll really help us get your account back up and running.
Okay, it was a guy and a girl.
You're going to have to be a little more specific, sir.
It was a babysitter, and the guy was dressed like a giant baby, and he had her up against the wall, and he was slapping her
in the face.
No, in the butt. He was slapping her butt, and it rippled.
I'm sorry, it rippled.
Yes, it was a close up of her butt, and her butt rippled.
And was it around this butt ripple that you were logged off?
No, it was during the foot job. Is this being recorded?
For quality assurance, yes.
Okay, hi, who's that?
I'm a quality assurance representative.
Sir, I'm going to need a list of the search items that you used.
I searched amateur.
And?
Interracial.
And?
Mother and daughter.
And?
Fisting, gagging, and tent rape.
I'm sorry, that last one?
Yeah, it's short for tentacle rape. Look, is...
Sir, how often do you access our site?
I'm sorry, who is this?
I'm an account representative.
Okay, I go on once every couple of weeks.
That's not what my records are showing.
Then what did you ask me for?
All right, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to recreate the events leading up to the problem.
You mean do what I was doing right before?
Yes.
No.
Well, I can always delete your account.
Okay, all right, fine. Let's hold on. First, I emptied a bottle of lotion into my hand, belt around my neck, and nipple clamps. And while I was watching the video, I would whisper to myself, ooh, just like that, just like that. Now, do you have everything you need from me?
Please, sir, go on.
Go on. And I was about 3 knuckles deep up inside of my own...
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Who's that?
Kevin.
Okay, Kevin,
What do you do? Yeah, okay. How many people are on this phone call right now?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Guilty.
What's up?
Okay. Thank you. I'm getting off now.
Oh, no, no, no,
oh,
no.
Come on. You're blue balling us.
Bye.
Stop. Tech support. My name is Kunal. How may I be of assistance?